Hey, everyone. Tim Nolan here with my partner in crime, Joe Cuny. This is the Going Postal podcast. We are Postal Blue Book Help. We're here to talk to you today about some exciting new topics. So stick around. We'll see you on the flip side. Hey, everyone. Welcome back. Tim Nolan with my partner in crime, Joe Cuny.
Good morning.
Joe, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. This is the Going Postal podcast. We are Postal Blue Book Help. We've got a very exciting episode coming up today, don't we, Joe?
We do.
We've got a special guest.
Mr. Netzel.
Fred Netzel, everyone. Fred is joining us. He's one of our federal retirement consultants, and he's joining us today. Fred, how are you?
Great. Good morning, Tim. Joe, thanks for having me.
Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. You know, guys, we're going to get with Fred here in just a little bit, but, you know, we want to make sure we can remind everyone that has been following us and joining us for our podcast, kind of what we do and why we exist. Postal Blue Book Help, we started years ago helping postal employees understand their benefits and retirement options and helping them, most importantly, fill out that wonderful blue book, right, Joe?
Yep.
Yeah.
No cost.
Zero cost, guys. Again, as you've seen in our previous episodes, we don't charge to fill out the blue book. There are many companies out there that are charging $750 to fill out 9 pages of that 160 plus page book that you have. We do it at zero cost.
It's awesome.
It's a great service. And you know, the fact that we don't charge is even better. You know, Joe, tell them a little bit about some of the other things that we do with our services, helping them out.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we have a seminar coming up in Columbia.
We do.
Set in December, early December. So we've got a group of postmasters from the central Missouri area that are going to get their workers together, and we're going to come do a free seminar for them.
Right.
So that's one of the biggest things that we do to educate postal employees about their benefits and their retirement system, just to make sure that they completely understand it, because a lot of them are getting to that age that they need to understand the retirement side, but also for the younger folks to make sure they're educated on all their benefits, whether that's their FAGLE or their FEB or the TSP, whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And guys, for those of you that are watching or listening on your favorite podcast platform, go out to our website, postalbluebookhelp.com, or our Facebook page at Postal Blue Book Help. And you can click the button, request information about the seminar, and we will get back to you. And we can get that scheduled for your group as well. I think we're still tracking to try to go down to Miami at some point in the next 60 days.
Yep.
And do a big seminar down there. Wouldn't mind getting away from Miami right now, right?
We got a little snow today.
We did. Yeah. Little dusting.
A little dusting of snow here in St. Louis.
Didn't stick to the streets. Kids are still in school.
Yep.
We know how to handle snow here in the Midwest. But yeah, first snowfall before Thanksgiving.
Yep.
I
like it. My son said to me on the way to school today, he goes, you know, if it's going to be cold, I'd like to have snow on the ground.
A little snow.
You know,
but
yeah, I don't agree with that.
You agree with that. Yeah. But Fred's from Buffalo. So yeah,
originally from Buffalo.
Yeah. You know, he's used to foots of snow.
Right.
Or feet of snow.
Feet or foots.
Foots, feet, whatever.
Whatever you choose.
But yeah, we're not used to that here. We usually just get a little bit of snow and then a bunch of ice. Right. So,
yeah.
Yeah, makes it a little bit tough to drive.
And all those crazies that think that their four-wheel drive truck can do so much better in ice are insane.
Right.
They invented ice before they invented four-wheel drive, folks. Little news flash. So, you know, we talk about, you know, we reference in all of our episodes that, you know, we sometimes find things like the LLV when it breaks down, you know, that Cadillac that everybody drives. You know, what, you know, we're going to focus on one of the things that could be a breakdown in your benefits that you may not even know about, and that is military buyback deposit, if you will. So this is episode 8, folks. We're going to talk to Fred Netzel. Fred is, again, one of our federal retirement consultants, fully trained on the federal retirement system, joined us a little over a year ago, and has done a great job helping federal employees, postal workers, with everything from their blue book to, you know, just figuring out their FERS pension, their FEB, their FEGLI, TSP rollover, probably one of the hot topics that you heard us talk about in a previous episode, still a hot topic. But today, after Fred gives his introduction, he's going to really give us some insight into what this military buyback is and how it can maybe benefit you in your retirement. So without further ado, we'd like to introduce Fred Netzel and let him give a quick backstory on his experience and how he's been helping people. Fred?
Great. Yeah. Thank you again for that introduction, Tim. Certainly trained as a federal retirement consultant. It's been almost 2 years. Worked with hundreds of federal employees through all agencies. And, you know, we specialize on the postal side. But really what I enjoy about working with the federal employees is really how appreciative they are when you start to educate them and you give them really what it is that they're looking for. Because, you know, we always talked a little bit about, you know, going to the right source. And a lot of times you get that hearsay. You know, individuals talk to each other at the coffee machine, the water cooler, whatever it may be. But what's really happening is that it's that telephone talk that's been done, you know, years ago when you were in elementary school. As, sure. as it gets passed down the line, you know, that information kind of gets a little skewed. And really what I enjoy is getting that right information to the people. They certainly appreciate it. And it's really eye-opening and it's rewarding. And, you know, just looking forward to helping the postal individuals make that transition really into retirement is really what our goal is.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. You know, we're going to talk about, and it's almost a slang term, buyback. You know, it's more of a formal for military deposit, right, Fred?
Right. That's right. So, yeah, I mean, the formal term is military deposit, but really what's been accepted is that buyback because, you know, the individuals are really reaching into their pocket and they're essentially buying back their time that they had in the military.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to go through a couple different things. You know, obviously during this episode, guys, we're not going to be able to cover every possible scenario of military service. So we're going to go through, you know, type of service, what value it may bring to you as a retiree, and then the steps necessary to make that deposit.
Yep. And Fred, you know, I had the biggest question that I had is what, or the first and biggest question is what type of time can be bought back? I think, yeah, you know,
that's people, a great question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That's a great question, Joe. And, you know, if you start to look, at what time could be bought back and really what's most popular is that active duty. And those are those individuals who are, you know, certainly enrolled and they're active, they're maybe going overseas, whatever it may be. The second way is, you know, with the reserves. And we get a lot of questions on the reserves because, you know, during the reserve time and they're doing their weekends or some training over the summer, what's happening is if it's not active, it's not going to count. So you can have an individual in the reserves for many years, and really what's going to be accredited to them is really what was active. So if they go, you know, deploy for a couple of weeks, you know, that's where it'll really count. Those weekends will not count. And we're going to talk about the process really about how they're going to really kind of get that number of how many years basically they get back. Sure. And then that third individual really is the ones who go to the military schools, you know, let's say the Naval Academy, where they actually, you know, have their in Annapolis, Maryland, you know, where they go and they actually receive, you know, payment for going to school, a small stipend basically for being out there.
Sure.
So those are the three major individuals that have the ability to buy back their military time or get credit basically.
Right. And, you know, just touching on that, what are they gaining or losing by potentially, you know, buying this back or making this deposit?
Yeah. Another good question. So, you know, really, if you think about it, you know, it's really comes down to understanding how the pension itself is really calculated. And, you know, you may have gone through that in the past in prior episodes, and a lot of individuals seem to know this, but, you know, really what they're gaining is the ability to either retire early, mm-hmm. quote unquote, I'll say retire early, But also too, to increase that pension, that's really what they're gaining.
Sure.
Or actually possibly losing.
So for instance, if somebody makes this deposit, buys that time back, and you know, let's say they're sitting right now at 16, almost 17 years, and they buy those 4 years back that they served in the military. So are you telling me, Fred, that they are actually going to receive credit for having 20 plus years of service?
Yep, that's correct. So, you know, really the process would determine whether or not how many years they get back. But if it does come back that they make that deposit, they buy back 4 years, to the answer then is yes. If they got 16 or 17 years and they buy this back, yeah, that'll put them over the 20-year mark for sure.
Very cool. Yeah. So what's the process for that? What do they have to do to get involved, you know, with that buyback within the government?
Yeah, you know, really the first process is to be aware. You know, guys, I've talked to a lot of individuals, you know, through kind of just figuring out what their needs are. And through the interview process, what's happening is as I ask them if they had any military time and service, some of them answer yes, you know, and then the question is, well, you know, did you make your deposit or did you buy back that time? And, you know, the answer is 99% say no. Sure. You know, not sure the reason why that is, but, you know, maybe it's just that they're not aware.
Yeah, education, huge deal. Yeah. And that's really why we're in place, right, Fred? I mean, to help them out to understand that. I mean, I know if I had military time and I had 20 years of service with another agency, if I had 5 or 6 yeah. years, I could add on to that and retire sure. that much earlier. I mean, why wouldn't you want to do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that certainly makes a lot of sense. And you know, when you start to look at those individuals, I think, you know, they're early on in their career, let's say, and they're not sure really of, hey, is this something that's right for me or am I going to stick it out? Or, you know, when they think about buying money back, I mean, they're reaching into their pockets, sure. you know, but, you know, to answer your original question, really what that process is to kind of really kind of get that information from, you know, your military, the finance department, from the agency that you worked with. And you're going to be filling out a form. So the form is an RI-20-97, okay? And what that form is basically is that you kind of release that form to that agency, and what they do then is it goes in their hands, and they kind of fill out all the financing side. They're going to fill out that and get that back to you or the agency, and it's going to really show how much you've earned during that time.
So this isn't necessarily just their DD-214 or anything. This is something completely different that's going to actually show what they earned during the years and what their average was of the last military pay, right, Fred?
That's correct, Tim. So that DD-214 will have to be attached when you submit that RI-2097 form to that agency.
Okay.
And really what that shows is really the history to prove that, you know, you were in there. And but that 97 form basically is really the finance side. So they're going to go through, and if you understand how I'm not going to get into the calculations, guys, about how it's really, you know, gone through, but there's two major components. It comes down to what you've earned during your military time.
Right.
And the second component is the interest.
Okay. All right. So, you know, folks, real quick, just to pause there, you know, if we've raised a light bulb in your head about military time or anything, you know, you can go out to our website, postalbluebookhelp.com, or our Facebook page, at Postal Blue Book Help. Request an appointment. Fred or one of our federal retirement consultants will get back in touch with you, and we'll schedule a one-on-one Zoom call, kind of like this, where we will go through everything with you, because there's a lot of information here that we're not going to be able to cover today, but getting a one-on-one appointment to figure out your unique situation will definitely benefit you, and we'll be able to give you some ideas on if it makes sense to do or not. You know, so Fred, there's probably some additional forms that they have to fill out along with that RI-2097.
Right. Yeah. So just to remind you guys that form again is basic pay that you've earned. It doesn't take into account any additional time. It's again, that basic pay. So, so as that's filled out, that'll get returned, like I said, to you or even the agency. And it's up to you to really keep up with it, because if you fail to keep up with it, you know, you guys may already know this, things kind of get lost in the system a little bit. So it's important you guys to kind of follow along with that, make sure you keep up and get that in a timely fashion. But yeah, once you get that back and you recognize those dollars, the next step really is to then, under FERS, and I'm speaking strictly for FERS,
yep.
There's an SF-3108 form that needs to be filled out.
Okay.
All right. Now, these forms are relatively straightforward. They're pretty easy to fill out. And really what that is then is you fill that and you send that to your HR department or shared services in this case. And what happens then is it's the HR department or shared services will kind of take that information and determine how much that you will owe for your service time.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So,
lot of information here. Little confusing, right?
It's so, very confusing.
I mean, this is why it's so important to reach out to somebody like Fred.
Sure.
That knows the system inside and out.
Right.
And that can help guide you along this process.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I had a client who they said, to your point, Fred, you made a few minutes ago, about they submitted their military buyback months ago. I think I had one that was over a year ago and they hadn't heard any correspondence yet. So you have to stay on top of it to make sure that it's getting processed properly. Because again, as you're prolonging the process, you know, funding might not be there for you. You might have had some money set aside to pay that deposit back, you know, and we're gonna get into the options for paying that back here in just a moment.
Yeah, you know, Tim, what's happened when you mentioned that time, right? So time is of the essence. And one thing I didn't mention is that if you look at how the payment back or that deposit is calculated, I mentioned basic pay and interest. So for those individuals who become aware within 3 years of making that transition into civilian service, if you make that deposit, well, there's no interest charged within that first 3 years.
Oh.
So anything after that, those 3 years, what happens is, yeah, there's interest accruing on that. You know, and then that's the agency will kind of determine that. But, you know, back to the point of keeping up with it, the whole process should not take more than about maybe 3 to 4 months if you stay active with that. And that's my recommendation is let's at least see what the numbers are. Let's take a look and see what that payment's going to be at that point. And yeah. Then we can certainly make decisions, because you're not required to make this deposit. It's
sure.
a choice.
Right, right. It's an elective decision that you make. You know, and some people make that decision based upon they want to get those extra years because it's kind of quote unquote helping them retire a little bit earlier. Right. That's one decision. But they also have to look at the financial side of it. You know, can they choose to, or do they want to have that extra payment coming out? You know, so a lot of big decisions. Again, postalbluebookhelp.com or our Facebook page at Postal Blue Book Help to get your specific situation under control. You know, especially, Fred, you mentioned, you know, in the first 3 years, you know, for all our young folks out there that might be listening or watching this podcast, you know, if you're within your first 3 years of coming out of the military, I mean, it might be a great time to reach out to us now, so that in 20 years when you're eligible to retire, you know, you might not have been charged any interest, and you can get it back in those first 3 years.
Yep. So let me just reiterate a little bit the process, and you know, it seems complex, but you know, really, if you kind of break it down, it is pretty simple. And it's really just getting the forms. Okay. That RI-2097 is one. And the other one is that SF-3108. And the process again is, you know, you fill out basic information is all it is. And you're waiting then for the agency to return that back to you with all that financial information. And you're that middleman. You mm-hmm. take that with the 3108 and take it to shared services or your agency, HR department. And then it's in their hands and they're going to figure out what that deposit is. Now, once they come back with that deposit amount, you got choices to make. There's payment options, or you can certainly take a lump sum. And I'll give an example. you know, there was an individual who was close to $10,000 for that buyback. Okay.
Wow.
But, you know, the individual is like, man, it's like, I don't really want to dig deep in my pockets for $10,000. I don't think it's a good idea. I'm not going to do this.
Yep. Yeah. And I think the big question here becomes, you know, should I buy back my military time, right?
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, you just don't know until you have a consultation with one of us to see if it makes sense, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, Fred, you mentioned that the person that you were talking to, the you know, $10,000 deposit. I mean, did he walk in with a check and get his checkbook out and be like, you know, I mean, some people can do that, but then there are a lot of people that can't do that.
Well, especially the young people, right?
Absolutely.
We're talking about the younger people. I mean, a lot of them don't have $10,000 laying around that they can just spend.
Right, right. And especially, you know, especially the younger folks that are going to spend $10,000 now. And we're not saying, folks, that everybody's deposit's $10,000.
Right.
No.
Right? It's just a good round number,
you know,
for us.
It's just an easy number. But, you know, let me spend $10,000 now and I'm not retiring for 15 more years, 20 years, whatever it might be. I don't feel that writing a check today for $10,000 is going to benefit me for a long time. So again, everybody's situation is different. We talk about it on every one of our episodes here, folks, that if you want your unique situation addressed just for you, reach out to us, postalbluebookhelp.com or at Going Postal, or I'm sorry, Postal Blue Book on Facebook.
Smash it.
A lot of it,
right?
A lot, you know, and obviously this podcast, YouTube, Facebook, our website, postalbluebookhelp.com. Like, share, and subscribe, right?
Right.
Fred.
Yeah, you know, Tim, you mentioned everybody's situation is different. And that's kind of where, you know, the situation comes down to, you know, these individuals are talking amongst each other at the coffee machine and the, you know, break room, wherever it may be. And they're comparing their situations, you know, but again, everybody's a little unique. And if you kind of look at even the payment scales and what they've earned as a military working in the military and their calculation and their buyback and the time that they serve, you know, that becomes personal. And that's kind of where, you know, we can separate that and we can make it personal for you where you understand your numbers. And I want to kind of go back to that individual with that $10,000. Yeah, I mean, certainly he was talking himself out of not doing it, but it wasn't until we ran the numbers, okay, that he said that, you know, yeah, it's a good idea. Because the other option is, right, instead of making that check, that one-time check, you can actually have deductions taken out of your leave and earnings.
Okay? Oh, really?
And it just kind of happens in the background and you almost don't see it. But where it does show up is when you're ready to retire and you got 16 years in or 17 years in, and you're eligible at this point because you bought back 4 years of service.
Yeah. Wow. So it's almost like, you know, most folks that we see when we're looking at their leave and earnings statement, they have a couple different allotments, if you will. Some people have a TSP loan that they're paying back. It's kind of a set it and forget it. And then you'll be surprised when you go to retire and you have these extra, you know, 4 or 5 years of military time that you bought back. And now, hey, you know, instead of having 16 years in our previous example, now you've got 20 years, you know, you're 60 years old and now you're rocking, you're ready to go. So, you know, I think Fred, you bring up a great point to say that, we provide that service at what cost?
At no cost.
No cost.
Everybody's free, free advice. We love to, provide that information for you. And we'll work up a worksheet for you and show you whether or not it makes sense for you to do, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. So, you know, it's definitely worth getting the numbers. You know, you mentioned no cost. There's no cost for them even to go and get their numbers from their agency. And it's just a little legwork on their part, you know, and just keeping up with it. But it's certainly worth it. So again, I mean, when you start to look at, you know, the value of buying back and making that deposit, you know, that value really comes down to, well, not only can you possibly retire a little earlier, but for those individuals, let's say, who make this deposit later on, who are already eligible to retire.
Sure.
Well, where do we make that up? Well, we make it up in the pension, right? So where we can step in is by helping you determine, well, how many years is it going to take from your pension by having that increase, right? Because if you remember how the pension is calculated, it's off of your high three, Yep. It's based off of your years of service. Yep. And then the 1 or 1.1% multiplier. So when we go to years of service and we're adding four more or six, eight, whatever years of service you got credited, well, that certainly reflects that in that pension. And that'll show up.
Sure. And
big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal because, you know, in that calculation, in that report, you know, if it, let's say it's going to cost that $10,000, but it's really increased your pension. And let's say you retire at 60 or 62 and you're going to, you know, your average life expectancy is 83 or 87. You're going to live in retirement for another 20 plus years. If you spent 10, but over the time of your retirement, it's increased your pension by more than 10.
Sure.
I mean, we'd be crazy not to do it.
Well, and it absolutely would. I mean, you add four plus years to that, you're going to make that $10,000 up in no time.
Yeah, and I know in Fred's report and on the report that we provide, it's going to show you where your break-even point is, in what year you're going to break even, and now everything past that is just, call it pure profit, but it is more money in your pocket when you go to retire.
Yep. Absolutely. And really, a good way to approach this, it's like I said, it's always worth running the numbers. And then it really comes down to, well, how many years is it going to take to recoup that payment? Those are the big questions that really we can step in and answer.
Yep. Yep. Well, Fred, thank you so much for joining us today. You do a great job for us out there and for all the federal employees and postal employees that you've helped. And are going to help in the future. We really appreciate your time and get back to it. And I'm sure there's somebody waiting to be helped later today.
Yep, I got a busy day.
Excellent.
Very good.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Going Postal Podcast, Episode 8, all about military time and buying back making your deposit. We're going to take a little break. We got the Thanksgiving holiday coming up here soon.
And Christmas.
Right.
I don't know when we're coming back. Did we make that decision yet?
We haven't yet. Yeah. It's going to have to be a executive board meeting to figure out when we're going to do that. But folks, please go out to our YouTube channel, like, share, and subscribe. Get some great information. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us, postalbluebookhelp.com and at postalbluebookhelp on Facebook. We are the Going Postal Podcast, Joe.
If we don't see you guys, have a good holiday season.
Yep. Happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays. We wish you all the best, and we'll see you soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.